Romans chapter 8, read a verse here. I'm going to preach, I think, maybe kind of a Sunday morning sermon, a little bit different than I preach on tour sometime, but I just feel familiar here and at home here, and you know us, we know you, you know where we stand, you know the kinds of things for which we stand, and same thing, so Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Down in verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you look back at Proverbs chapter, and you don't need to turn to it, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, I enjoy that verse quoted a good bit. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And God blesses our lives. God wants to bless our life. I'll preach, you could call it five secrets to being blessed this year, five truths that'll help you to be blessed this year. I'm going to toss in a little bit about what does it mean to be blessed. How you can have God's blessing on your life this year. Father, pray that you would bless this time together, this church service. Be with me, give power and wisdom as I preach, give direction to my mind, and Holy Spirit, speak to hearts while my voice speaks to ears. Thank you for these good people. Bless Brother Ross, give him power, use him where he's preaching today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Make sure I got this thing off, come think of it. Once on tour it went off while I was in the pulpit. The girls love it when that happens, you know. But just thinking about God's blessing on our life. You and I want things to go our way. We want to be blessed. We want to have a blessed life. We're some of that, I suppose, a little bit selfish, and we associate blessing with things going well and everything, you know, coming our way. Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good. Somebody says, well, I'd like for things work together for good for me a little bit. Seems like it hasn't been working together for me all the time. Let me just toss in maybe at the beginning that being blessed doesn't always mean that I get a raise. Being blessed doesn't always mean that I have good health. Being blessed, you know, if you think about people in the Bible who were blessed by God, you think of Apostle Paul. Was the Apostle Paul blessed by God? Was his life and ministry blessed by God? Would you and I trade rewards and the life in heaven with the Apostle Paul? I mean, in a heartbeat, less than a heartbeat. But he wound up in prison. And you look at his life and he talks about being beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and a night and a day in the deep and in perils of my own countrymen and perils of this and peril. I mean, you know, God's blessing on our life doesn't necessarily mean everything's going to wind up being just always going to be paid. My family and I are always going to have good health. Everything. You know, I know sooner or later my family and I are not going to have good health. I mean, you know, somebody says, well, if I die, it's not if I die, it's, you know, I'm going to die unless the rapture comes and we go up, but we're not staying here. You know, certainly most of the time God heals the sick and so on, but sometimes it's God's will that we die and go to heaven. And God's blessing on your life does not necessarily mean that you're never going to get sick, the car's never going to break down, the heating bill is always going to be low enough that I can pay it in the winter, and my wife will always be happy, and everything's going to be just wonderful all the time. God's blessing on your life, I think, means that you're living a life here that gives you the joy of serving God in this life and in the life to come. King Solomon had everything the world could give. I mean, everything. And he was born again. I mean, he was a saved man. But he was miserable. You read the Song of Solomon, I tried this, I tried that, I tried this, I tried that. Some of it was sinful that he tried, some of it wasn't. But he said, all these things I kept trying, none of them brought me joy or happiness. I was miserable. And, being wealthy does not equate to being blessed. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. On the other hand, somebody says, well, are you being blessed? Yeah, I think God's blessing my life. So you have any heartaches? Sure. You have any things you wish you could change? Absolutely. Do you have, my hair's turning gray, some of it's turning loose. Some things are, everything. But you know what? When you serve God and you live for him, there's a joy in your heart that says, this is going good. I tell you, it's a blessing to stand up here and see numbers of young people. You're not young anymore, many of you. But folks that when I had you in college were young people, and now you're out serving God. And some of you that still are young realize, well, hey, we had a part in those lives. Part in the training. People going on serving God. It was a blessing to sit in a bus home Saturday with my wife and being out visiting on a bus route, lined up a couple kids for baptism. Going to be interested today to see whether or not they got baptized. I'm going to call in, check on that. And back in Lexington. And feel like be an encouragement to a lady there who's dealing with issues and so on, and try and help her and so on. It's a blessing to serve God. Anyhow, what secrets to being blessed by God? Number one, stay close to God. That seems simple, doesn't it? God is a source of blessing. So if I want God's blessing on my life, I ought to stay close to him. If you read your Bible much at all or think about it much at all, you start in Genesis and you go on through Exodus and on. I mean, again and again and again and again, as you read your Bible, people get saved. They start serving God. The king is a good king. Things are going well. The next king turns away from God. God brings his hand of judgment. I mean, just on and on and on and on. I'm reading through my Bible. One of the things I'm doing this year is reading through my Bible just straight in order. And so I'm in Psalms now. And as I'm reading Psalms, read it this morning again. Our hope is in you. We have enemies, people around about us. We know you're going to take care of us. Blessing comes from God. And I mean, if you're you don't have to be a Bible student. All you got to be is a casual reader of the Bible to figure that out. And so if blessings come from God, then I ought to stay close to him. Now, number one, obviously, that would mean I'd want to be saved. And if there happens to be somebody here today, and you'd say, Brother Jorgensen, what are you talking about being saved? Sometimes people will say, well, yeah, I was almost drowning once, and somebody reached in and saved me, or I was in a car wreck, and I thought I was going to die, but they saved me. And that's good, but that's not what we're talking about here. Being saved spiritually, like we're talking about in the Bible, being saved means that I get rescued or saved from hell and go to heaven. Bible teaches that all of us have sinned. I've sinned, you sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Because of that, the wages of sin is death, physical death and spiritual death. So when my body dies, which all of our bodies are going to die, when my body dies, if I get what I've got coming to me because I'm a sinner, I'm going to wind up in hell. That's true of me. Brother Reiser, my wife, all seven of these girls, for sure, and every one of us, because we've all sinned. And wages of sin is death. But God loves me. He doesn't want me to go to hell. He wants me to go to heaven. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. So that if I can try, and then he offers me a gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life because Christ died for my sins. If I put my faith in him and accept that gift of eternal life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, trusteth in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. And if I put my faith and trust in Christ then and say I'm going to accept his payment for my sin, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I did that a little over 40 years ago. I've sinned since then, but I still know I'm saved, because when Jesus died 2,000 years ago, I'd never been born, and my parents were, obviously, but somehow Jesus took all the sins I'd commit the first 20 years or so of my life, what I've done the last 40, whatever I'm going to do the next however many years. Jesus died for all of them. I trusted him. I got it settled. I'm on my way to heaven. And that's good. The first step to getting close to God is getting saved. And if you're here today and you say, well, I don't know if I've done that or not. If I died, I don't know whether or not I'd go to heaven. I'd like to go to heaven, but I don't know if I would. You ought to get that settled today. Whether this is your first, second, third time here, whether you've been coming here for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You know, if you, and I'm not trying to put any doubts in anybody's mind, but I'm just, but you know, you ought to get it settled. It's exciting to know I'm on my way to heaven and that I want to stay close to God. He is a source of blessing. I read Psalm 44, 3-8 this morning, taught that kind of thing. And jotted it down here in the outline. God, we haven't won these battles in our strength. We've done it with your strength. And if you and I want God's blessing on our life, want to be blessed this year, since God is a source of blessing, we ought to stay close to him. That makes sense. Stay in church. Number two, concentrate on being a blessing, not being blessed. You know, if you and I spend our life worrying about trying to be a blessing to somebody else, then God's going to take care of blessing us. Brother Hiles had an old sermon he used to preach, his silent sermon, that he'd talk about. He said, you want secret of joy and happiness in life? You want God's blessing on your life? I'll show you how to get it. See, your problem is, you're like this. I'll move up so you can see better. You're like this. Blessing stopped. God doesn't bless us so we can keep it. God blesses us so we can give it. Secret to being blessed by God, one of the secrets to being blessed this year or to having a blessed life is to worry more about being a blessing than being blessed. And I had a thought, came through one of my faculty members down there. Look, if my goal in life is to be blessed, be thanked, be praised, all of us like being praised. I enjoyed hearing Brother Reiser saying nice things about me before I got up to speak. I'm a little bit vain. I like seeing my name on the sign out there when I pulled in. Say, well, Brother Jorgensen, you shouldn't be that way. I'm human. But, you know, if I come into church and say, no, wait a minute, my name's not on the sign. They didn't introduce me. We go to some churches, and my introduction is, here's the group. I mean, right? I go to some churches, and they'll talk about, you know, somebody maybe that I've had an influence on. I've been at this for over 40 years. I have somebody that I've had a major influence in their life will get up and spend a good bit of time. Now, if my goal is to say, well, I want to go to that church so I can hear somebody say a lot of nice things about me, I'm going to be disappointed and upset most of the time. But on the other hand, if I go into that church and I say, I want to find somebody I could cheer up today. I want to find one of my graduates from years ago and tell them I'm proud of them. I can almost always find some way to be a blessing. If my goal is to have somebody give something to me, I'm going to be disappointed and upset most of the time. But if I come into life and say, I wonder if there's anybody I could help today, I can almost always find somebody who's willing to be helped. And I can say, I met my goal. I was able to be a blessing today. 1 John 3:17 says, you know, talks about, you know, if you see your brother have need and, you know, you can meet that need, but you shut up your bowels of compassion on him, how dwelleth the love of God in that man? But on the other hand, if I see somebody have a need and I say, hey, I can meet that need, let me go meet that need. You spend your life meeting others' needs, trying to make other people happy, trying to be an encouragement, a blessing to others. Let God give his blessing to you, You know, pretty much, as opposed to this, it's a wonderful life. Because again, doesn't that make sense? If my goal is to be blessed, be thanked, be praised, be rewarded, I'm going to be frustrated and upset most of the time because I'm never going to feel like I'm getting. Right. Last year, he said something nicer about me than he did this year. You know, my wife cooked that meal and she knows I don't like that. My wife, you know, my husband is, you know, he's late again. You know, I told him, we agreed we were going, I said, when do you want dinner? He said, 6 o'clock. He pulls in here at 5:59, and you'd think he'd have, you're always going to be upset. I mean, why not decide, oh, be a blessing to somebody else? Yes, you're never going to get the, but if my goal is to be a blessing, praise others, thank others, reward others, give to others, I can always be happy and fulfilled saying, man, I'm reaching my goal. I've said sometimes for years, and it's pretty much true, my wife and I have spent our lives caring for our 3 kids, our college kids, and our bus kids. We've let God take care of us. God's done a marvelous job, much better job than we have. But we have spent our lives trying, I mean, pretty much 42 years of marriage this summer, trying to care for our 3 kids, now our in-laws, you know, sons-in-law, daughter-in-law, and so on like that, our grandkids, our kids, our college kids, and our bus kids. We've let God take care of us. God will take good care of you. You want God's blessing on your life this year? Number one, stay close to God. Number two, concentrate on being a blessing more than being blessed. Number three, believe God. Look, faith is the key to God's blessing. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, we must have faith to come to God. I'll read. I got a couple references in Hebrews. I'll try and turn to them. And all of a sudden, I'm not quoting it, but see if I can find Hebrews. It's in front of James. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that there is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I need faith. Hebrews 11 verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And look, you and I need to have faith if we're going to please God. And one of the things that if I have faith, I realize that things that are eternal are what matter. You know, what kind of car I drive doesn't matter. What kind of house I live in doesn't matter. Whether I spent $700-$800 on a suit at a high-end men's store, or $20 at Goodwill, it really doesn't matter. Most of us probably shop at Penny's or someplace in between. But I mean, you know, it really doesn't. 2 Corinthians 4:18, look not at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. A lot of times we feel like, boy, I'm not being blessed because we're looking at the wrong things. We're looking at what we see here. And we say, well, I didn't get a raise. I don't have as big a house as I want. I don't have as new a car as I want. I don't, you know, God's blessing. And on the other hand, if I can say, yeah, but I got, had a full bus. Yeah. Had somebody saved yesterday. Amen. Somebody's going to be in heaven. Amen. Because I went out soul winning yesterday. Somebody may get baptized today, and I didn't have anybody saved yesterday. I don't every week, but some weeks I do. Witness to my neighbor a few weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago, stand between our houses. You know, IT type, you know, engineer at Lexmark type people. And he trusted Christ as Savior. But I mean, you know, that doesn't always happen. But you know, if you realize that's what matters in life, not this stuff that's, I mean, it's all going to burn. We're trying to hang on to the wrong things. I thought of that illustration of the ice cube at the end of the Sunday school hour. Never have used it, but not sure I've ever heard it before. Just, I don't know, kind of, you're like trying to say, well, I really want this ice, so I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to hold it real tight so I don't lose it. I want this ice cube. I'm going to need it later for my drink. You can't hang on to an ice cube and save it. It's just, it's going to be nothing. It won't work. And we look at what's in our wallet or what, you know, oh, I got to hang on to this stuff. It's just going. It's not gonna last. Now, to all of you that are wondering, I'll go ahead and pick it up. But it's like trying to hold on to ice cubes. It didn't amount to anything. Believe God. What you see is fake. What is eternal that's invisible, what's invisible is eternal. Yes, sir. The souls of men. Yes, sir. I don't know, does it really matter if I live here 50 years, 65 years, 80 years? And when we die, what's going to matter is, number one, are you saved? Yes, number two, what have I done for Christ? And if I start looking by faith at the blessing of God being, I was able to be used of God, I was able to do something for God today, I was able to do something that's going to bring me reward in eternity and live with eternity's values in view, hey, you know, what we count as blessings will switch out. And anyhow, number one, stay close to God. Number two, concentrate on being a blessing. Number three, believe God. Number four, follow the instructions. Look, this book is full of all kinds of things that'll tell me how to have God's blessing on my life. Yes, sir. I mean, there's instruction after instruction after instruction in here. You sing in Sunday school, I think, didn't I? What's the one? You know, you can't have God's blessing if you don't know the promises. Quote the verse. Jana? You can't stand on the promises if you don't know what they are. Did you sing that in Sunday school? And you know, if you don't know what the promises are in here, how are you going to stand on them? If you don't know how to get God's blessing, that's one of the reasons you ought to come to church and listen to preaching. You know, listen to Bible preaching like you get here that's going to say, here's how you do it. This is what God's word said. Read it. Listen to it. You know, when I go to church service, I want to get something that helps me. As far as that goes, if I'm preaching, I get something out of my message that helps me. Certainly, if I'm listening to somebody else preaching, I want to get something that's good for me. Say, oh, Brother Jorgensen, haven't you been a Christian a long time? Yeah, long, long time. Longer than many of you have been alive. Not all of you. But I, you know, and I've been going to church a lot. Haven't you heard great preachers? Yes, but I want to get something from this message. We have our preacher boys preaching the college chapel, seniors the end of the year. I try and get something out of their message. I've been their teacher for 4 years, but if they're preaching the Word of God, there's something in there that I can get for me. Church is not about coming in and sitting here and say, boy, how many more minutes have I got? You know, it's not a matter of I did my time now. It's a matter of getting some truth from God that's going to help me in my life. Help me be a better husband, better father, better Christian, better bus worker, better administrator, better person, better Christian. I want to get something that's going to help me in every day. And I want to follow instructions in the Bible. So read it and listen to it. Come to church. Stay away. I'm still under following instructions in the Bible. Stay away from things that are going to destroy your life. You know, there's some things that will ruin your life. Now, you ought to read your Bible every day, but if you miss a day, you can pick it up again tomorrow. There's some things, if you do, you can't pick it up again tomorrow. You know, you destroy your marriage, it's gone. So I know I need money, I'll go rob a bank. And okay, now you're in jail. That was great. So I'll get away with it, sure. But I don't think anybody, but I mean, there's some things, if you do them, your life is different. Now, y'all read your Bible every day. But, I mean, you know, one of the frustrations going out and working with people is you look at them and you say, this is what you need to do. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And they don't do it. Go back to the old self-destructive behavior. But number four, follow the instructions in the Word of God. Stay close to God. Concentrate on being a blessing, not being blessed. Believe God. Value what He values. Number four, follow instructions in the Bible. Number five, live on purpose. Romans 8:28 says, we know all things work together for good to them who believe, them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I've got to live on purpose if I want to be blessed this year. I got to have a goal in mind. I want to live by God's purpose, as far as that goes. A lot of reasons that people don't have any results in their life and don't, they have no purpose. Work with college kids a lot, and you know, why are you here? What are you doing? How come you're flunking your classes? Oh. Saber gave her testimony. She said, I've never been a great student, but I passed all my classes. How'd she pass hers, even though she's smart, she lets on. She's kind of like these old country lawyers, you know, that, oh, yeah, I'm just a simple old guy. And then, but I've been teaching a long time. It's not always the smartest people don't usually get the best grades. If the smartest people do get the best grades, it's not because they're smartest, it's because they work the hardest. It's according to how hard you work most of life. I just kind of floating around, I don't have a goal, you're not getting anywhere. I'll live my life on purpose. You got a choice. Some of you, a significant number of us in here are my age, close to it, or older. I turned 65 last year. And, you know, so people start talking to you about retirement and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that age, people started sending me, you know, financial planners are contacting us. And, you know, you're getting all that stuff. And I'm thinking, well, you know, what am I going to plan with? But the... And a couple of applications out of there, though. One of them I thought, wouldn't it be neat if you could find a financial planner who could just do it and get it right for sure? You know, if you thought, this guy's plan is going to work. You know, I mean, it's guaranteed. But none of them are. You know, I mean, they'll invest it in the stock market for you, and that may go up. They'll invest it in real estate, that may go up. I mean, they all say, you know, there's a danger in here. You could lose money. And you put it in a savings account, you won't lose anything except you do by inflation. And I thought about trying to make plans, and I thought, wait a minute. God's already got a plan for my life. All I've got to do is follow God's plan. Some of you young people thinking, well, I need a plan for my life. Kids college age, not a lot of them nowadays think, well, I got to have a backup plan in case this ministry thing doesn't work out. How are you going to back up God's plan? How are you going to have a better plan than He does? Dawned on me one day, you know, God's already got a plan. I don't need to devise a plan. God already has a plan. All I've got to do is find God's plan, follow it. It's going to be wonderful. I'm going to have His blessing on my life. And, you know, finding a plan that would work. And then, secondly, I want to do something on purpose. Think about being 65 and so on, and what are you going to do with your life, or you want to retire? And I'm thinking, oh, sitting there watching the waves on the ocean, that'd be fun for a while. sitting there watching, you know, the corn grow and being peaceful out here in the middle of Indiana and, you know, that kind of thing. That'd be fun for a while. But at some point, I want something more in life than that. And, you know, I figured I want to live on purpose. You know, I kind of got to, you're thinking about retiring, you got a choice. Am I going to live for pleasure or am I going to live for purpose? And pretty much question you got all your life. Saturday morning time, go out in a bus route. Boy, I like where your bus routes meet. Good night. Burger King, Arby's, Burger King, Dairy Queen. I don't know who Route 3 is, but I bet they don't have very many workers. They meet here at the church. Doc, yeah. We didn't teach you everything at Hiles Anderson, did we? But I was looking at that and thought, wow, this is pretty good. I think maybe I'd join the Dairy Queen one week. And now, do you visit out from there or you just sit at Dairy Queen and wait for everybody to come in? I worked on a route in Hammond for a few years, or quite a few years, and they had a McDonald's right in the middle of it, and you could pretty well sit at the McDonald's and visit all your bus kids, because they kind of all just came through. Now, we did go out and visit, too. We didn't just sit at McDonald's. But you got a choice Saturday morning. You're going to live for pleasure? I think I'll sleep in. Sunday morning. Saturday night, time to study the Sunday school lesson. Yeah, but the game's on. I want to go to bed early. Am I going to live for pleasure? Am I going to live on purpose? And you know, that's the choice that you have to make. I decided, I want to keep living my life on purpose. I want to live it according to God's purpose. If you want God's blessing on your life, you need to live it on purpose. Say, well, I'd like to have a spiritual blessing. Then you ought to set a time. When are you going to read your Bible? When are you going to pray? I mean, it's one thing to say, well, I'd like to read my Bible through this year. Okay, good. When are you going to do it? 3.5 pages a day will do it. 3.5 chapters a day, something like that, either way. And I like break mine down by pages because, boy, Psalms right now, I'm getting through a lot of chapters in one day. Reading that many chapters in Chronicles would take me, 2 hours. So I pretty well break mine down by pages. But the if I want God's blessing, I ought to have purpose for my spiritual life. I ought to have purpose for my family. Time I want to spend with my wife. Time to spend with the children. How am I going to get to them? How can I be helped to them? What am I going to teach? Financially, you ought to have a purpose. I'd like to get out of debt. That's a good goal. How are you going to do it? Like pay my bills. Wonderful. How are you going to do it? You need a purpose. You set up a budget. You tithe and pay your bills and then the miscellaneous and then the pleasure and then the savings. Something like that order. Tithe comes first. That's back to, if you want God's blessing, why would you rob from Him? I mean, financially, ministry-wise, well, I'd like to have a good bus route. When are you going to visit? When are you going to pray? Do you pray? I'd like to influence the kids in my Sunday school class. When are you going to study? When are you going to pray? That's one thing. I mean, all of us have been at this long enough. We've all been around church long enough. You know, we can come in, glance at the lesson, come in, sit down, and tell the story of Noah or Jonah or something, and I don't know if they give you lessons here or you come up with your, I suppose you give them some kind of curriculum, and you say, yeah, I can just glance over that. I know all these stories. I don't understand why God isn't blessing it. Because you're not putting the effort into it. And you're going to live on purpose. You're going to live for pleasure. I want to have goals. If I'm going to have God's blessing on my life, I've got to have objectives and things I want to see accomplished in life. Doesn't just happen. Not very many good things just happen. They happen because you work and you follow and you prepare and you go through them. So anyhow, secrets to being blessed by God. I don't know if there's secrets, principles that will help you to be blessed by God. Stay close to God. Concentrate on being a blessing, not being blessed. Believe God. Follow instructions in the Bible. And live on purpose. Set a goal and a plan and something I want to reach. An objective. And set up a schedule that's going to help you to reach that objective. Let's live our lives to be blessed by God this year. Let's realize what blessing is. Blessing isn't, again, that I'm going to get a raise. And sometimes I've said, don't confuse the nice things that God gives you to enjoy with His blessing on your life. Sometimes God gives you nice things to enjoy, a new house, a raise, a new car, because He loves you. Sometimes God gives you heartache and disappointment because He loves you. I've got to learn, God loves you all the time. I've got to learn to look at the heartache and disappointment that comes in my life and say, God, that's from You too. I'm going to accept it. I want You to use it in my life to help me to be a blessing to somebody else. Help me be an encouragement to them. I want to stay close to Him. I want to live by faith. Faith is the key to unlocking God's blessings. Let's bow our heads for prayer.